6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
It's Sunday papers time to read the news with Greg and Mike. Served hot for you to bring a smile to your face so you know.
3, 2, 1.
Read all about it. Read all about it. Hear ye. Get your daily news, your weekly news. I mean, that's the thing, people. Let's just go through what this show is. We go through the news of the week. We pick the biggest, most important stories.
Yeah.
And then we tape them 3 days before the show airs, just so they're super fresh.
You know, ADD kids. I didn't. There was no segue there. Speaking of ADD, you know they have fidget toys and stuff like that.
Sure, I got one right here.
Yeah, or they have to doodle, which does help. Like, you know, doing something else. Well, anyway, here's my new fidget toy. You ready? Because of my back, you know those, the physical therapy,
yeah,
big plastic S's.
Yeah.
And is this distracting when I'm talking to someone? This is
wow.
My fidget. Just jamming this thing right into the knots.
Oh, how's it feel?
Feels good.
This is
a cheaper one than at the place where I
every go. Writing job I've ever had, they have made allowances for my ADHD. I pace, I do Sudokus, crossword
Sudokus
puzzles
while writing.
While in a writer's room, I do Sudokus.
Good Lord.
Hey, you know, am I getting jokes in the script? That's all they give a shit about.
Are you getting more job offers?
Nope.
I think the writing's on the wall.
Hell, the writing's not on the page. No, I mean, not like obsessively, but, you know, I do a few a day, and I definitely pace in the back of the room.
Pacing's fine. You know, one thing in the practical advice category of what I give my USC students, because, you know, in theory, it's like one of the Harvards of entertainment, you know. Although other universities are definitely catching up. But anyway, the practical advice I can give them is I go, okay, listen, if you get on a sitcom or really like, yeah, especially a sitcom or any written show where there's going to be story, don't reveal that you have good handwriting because you will be at the board all the time.
Oh, right.
And it's true. This girl, this woman, I should say, of course, on my sitcom had, I mean, the best handwriting. And it's kind of like having a neat room or whatever it is. Like, it just, we thought the outline was better in her handwriting. For like my handwriting, you'd be like, oh, this needs a lot of work. Like,
yeah.
This is thrown together. Hers immediately made it look like, I think we're ready for air. I think
well,
we're ready
people
for...
should understand the board means there's a cork board with a bunch of index
well, dry
cards.
Dry erase board.
Or a dry erase board, whatever. But
yeah,
when my office, I had an office at the Santa Monica Airport for like, I think 12 years. And then I got kicked out because they're making pickleball courts.
Have they torn it down yet, by the way?
No, that's the funny thing. We got kicked out a year and a half ago. But I still had the key, and my office just sits there empty. So I was doing a script for Bill Burr last year with another guy, and we would just go there, you know? Once every couple of weeks, we'd go in, and the entire wall just had index cards. We had the whole outline of the script on the wall. We had two chairs, a table, and a coffee maker, and I worked rent-free for a year and a half in this office.
It's so weird how they just throw away money. Like, there's a year rent times how many offices, you know?
Right, I know.
Free money for them, but anyway. Yeah, so when there's story and all that, you put up, whether it's index cards with your handwriting, or you put up the story, act one, act two, act three, here are all the scenes. Anyway, don't show them you got good handwriting, because
no.
You will be up there.
Don't do it. Also, good handwriting, bad handwriting shows creativity and genius. Good
is
handwriting just means
is?
You worked really hard at Harvard. So you missed it. AC/DC last weekend, Chris Chaney, our golf buddy, was playing bass for the band AC/DC.
Unbelievable.
In front of 60,000 people at the Rose Bowl. And the joke I kept making after the show is, wow, they kind of mailed it in, because it was the complete opposite of mailing it in. Angus was doing that duck walk, that one-legged with the other leg straight, all the way up the runway. There was a set of stairs behind the stage with a raised stage that he would go up and down while wailing on a solo. And, I mean, the whole band just sounded amazing. I mean, literally, they sounded as good as they ever have. And, you know, Angus is 70 years old.
I was just looking up his age. I know we said it last week. 70, yeah. Incredible.
And the other guys are older. And then you got Chris Chaney, who, you know, you don't normally pay a lot of attention to the guy playing bass in a band until it's your friend. It's insane what he's doing. Because when Angus does a solo, Chris's job is to just hit one or two or three notes as fast as your fingers can possibly be hitting them for about 10 minutes straight. It's so intense. And he didn't miss a note. Nobody did. It was amazing. And then we went backstage. He got us the VIP green room tickets.
Just killed me.
And Axl Rose was there. Slash was there. We got to meet everybody, a bunch of old rockers, just everybody's in black jeans, black boots, tons of tattoos, very good hair plugs. And
except
we hung
Mikey.
Out.
Except Mikey. Who's right. In shorts. And I think he was stretching.
Mikey.
On the floor.
Did you hear this? Yeah. He was doing yoga stretches in front of all these guys.
I got a picture. Damn it. It's in one of our text chains. But
yeah.
What is up with that?
It was hilarious. Well, it was very chill. It was a chill green room. You know, we all got blowjobs. We did some cocaine. It was everything that you hoped that an AC/DC backstage would be.
So chill.
Yeah.
That's amazing, man. And, you know, I'm going to miss them. And I think I'm even missed. They're in Vegas tomorrow night. Which
yeah.
is Friday night for everybody listening. So it already happened. And then they're in May in Nashville, but I don't think I'm there.
Mm.
So I've really managed to avoid them, man.
I was shocked that I knew. They played for 2 hours and 15 minutes. And I think there were two songs that I didn't know.
Right.
And Dickie, who I was standing next to, was singing the words to every song. He must be a fanatic. Or has a really good memory, but like...
Wait, I know all the words.
To 2.5 hours worth of songs?
I mean, over... Yeah, probably close to 20 of their songs.
All right, what are the words to Hell's Bells?
No, I mean, I can sing along, but I mean, if I had a focus... Rolling thunder, power and rain, you're coming on like a hurricane. You're only young, but you're going to die. I know I missed a little, but I can sit when I'm talking
about singing
along.
Right,
totally would.
Yeah.
Dirty Deeds, TNT. For those about to rock, It's a Long Way to the Top. All of Back in Black.
Yep.
Is imprinted on my brain.
Yep.
So off Back in Black, they're playing no less than six songs, probably.
Played every song. I think they played every song on Back in Black.
No, I can guarantee that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, It's amazing. And it's just fun. That's the thing about it. You know, you're just going to have a perfect kickoff to summer. You're at the Rose Bowl stadium show.
Yeah.
Nothing but good vibes.
Yeah, it was great. And then we had Easter on Sunday. You were in Nashville with your fiance.
Yep.
How was that?
It was good. They host a big Easter egg hunt, and her dad is kind of famous. There's like a gold egg, there's a silver egg, and a bronze egg. Each of those come with money. And then he, you know, and the kids know that, and they remember it from the year before. And then this is my third year, I think. He's like, oh, bronze egg, that's $10, Mike, give me $10. And then the gold egg, I think, is 20. He's like, Mike, where's my... And so I just knew, like, I just showed up with cash in my pocket, which is getting pretty rare these days. And he just, yeah, no money. And then...
Wait. So he's the guy who everybody goes, oh, look, you know, he's... The rich famous guy is putting money in the eggs, and it's you?
Well, no, you get it handed to you when you turn in your egg, and yeah, it's me. And he gives, you know, the clues, which he used to give in haiku. Kids don't know it's haiku, but it is. And so he makes them rhyme now anyway, and gives clues because the gold, silver, and bronze are harder to find. All right, another thing is, last year he's like, I think this is a pretty good hiding spot for the gold egg. I'm like, where? And he's looking at his eyes, and he's looking down. And I'm like, what? And he's in his front pocket.
Oh,
now,
God.
There are tiny kids running all around. So I start laughing, and he just looks right at me. I'm like, man. And he's expressionless. I'm like, he's funnier than I gave him credit for. And he's not deadpanning it. He's looking at me like, what? You don't think so? I'm like, in your front pocket, is this a joke? Like, like little kids,
God.
I have to feel all the front of your pants to get the egg.
Wow,
I know.
Strong. We did. What did we do? Oh, the Malloys had some people over, just some neighbors. It was kind of a last minute thing. Me and Aaron and another couple were going to take mushrooms and go to a park. But then the Malloys invited us over, so we just went over there. And it was 4:20, so everybody at the party, and I think there was 13 people, all took edibles and hung out pretty late. And it was a very great, you know, it's one of those special nights where you just go like, wow, that was really special. You know, like these are our friends that you know all of them very well yourself. They were all there. Ken and Beth and Alex and Liz and Josh and Rachel. And
that's great.
Yeah, it was really fun and good food.
All right. Before you get to your Home Depot, I made a little errand this morning. So I go in the airport. They're like, get out of line. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you're not TSA. I'm like, the hell I'm not. Anyway, my birthday just passed, as we know.
Happy birthday.
And Global Entry and TSA, whatever, all that stuff, your known traveler number, all just no warning, they're gone. I didn't get an email saying it's come, whatever. So I'm like, okay. And then I went in.
What do you mean? Like on your ticket, it just didn't show up?
Right. It's gone. As soon as it expires, the system has it, you know, it just removes it automatically.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So anyway, I asked then someone, they're like, oh, well, it was just your birthday. I'm like, it was like 2 days ago. And they're like, oh, it probably expired then. And I'm like, but if it's only 2 days ago, that's not a big problem. So I go online, blah, blah. And then they're like, okay, you have to fill in the information, double check it. And they're like, okay, you're conditionally approved. I'm like, all right, what's the condition? And they're like, interview. I'm like,
oh, no.
It's my third interview with these people.
It's because you stole a car in college.
No. So I go, they fingerprint you again in case you've been arrested since. So anyway, I'm there. I have a little attitude, but then I'm like, all right, I shouldn't have attitude. It's this nice woman who seems a little inexperienced, and I'm shocked she hasn't been fired by the government yet. So anyway, I'm like, okay, try to lighten it up, because you just were like asking and you probably didn't realize what your face looked like when you asked, why the fuck am I down here for another interview? So she goes, any travel within the last 2 years? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I visited my daughter in Amsterdam and then went to Spain. But and then she kind of looks at me. She's like, anything else? And I'm like, no, I go, I don't think so. And she's like, Canada? And she said it in such a way. Uh-huh. And I forgot out of Boston, I did a little, you know, we went up to Nova Scotia to find my dad's mom's house. And I was like, oh, Canada. And I go, I thought you guys didn't consider that a country anymore. Nothing.
No.
Zero back.
That's a bummer.
And yeah. I was like, oh no, like, am I with the bad attitude that preceded this? And now I just, basically, I guess she took it as an insult. I'm like, I'm not getting approved. You will.
Well, yeah, especially when I walk up and the security guy goes, Fitz dog. That's what happened last time.
Hey, if I were
rubber
you.
Rubber stamp me.
If I were you, I would go on Global Entry. Well, you've flown TSA, I guess, since your birthday, but make sure.
Well, you know, and make sure also your credit card pays for it, because that's part of your, yes. I know you got that Amex thing.
Oh, they pay. It's totally free, which is great.
I have spent the last 2 days, no, 3 days, working around the house. And I got to say something. You know, our house was in disrepair for many years. We just let our lawn go. It was decomposed granite, and it was just tired. And we did a bunch of planting, and we put down like a whole new back patio. And I got to say, I'm loving my house and my yard. We just bought a couple new sheds. We had these old broken down sheds, and I assembled them, and I felt like a fucking man. And I spent a lot of time going to Home Depot.
Shed. Remember that Will Ferrell character? He's trying to have a conversation with wine around the barbecue, but he keeps getting distracted by his kids. And he's like, get off the shed! Like, he just keeps screaming it.
And so I spent a lot of time at Home Depot, and I kind of had an epiphany, which is if you're in Home Depot and you're alone as a guy, especially if you're wearing Timberlands and you know, a worn out t-shirt, you feel like such a man. And then if you go with your wife, you feel like a total cuck, because you're always 4 steps behind her. She's rejecting shit you're trying to put into the basket. You're doing
the closet aisle.
Well, no, every aisle. If you're a guy, you go in and you find it and you leave. Women do it like it's a grocery store, and they go up and down every aisle and ask other men where shit is. No.
Excuse me, do you know where the bathroom aisle is? And could you do me better than my husband in front of him? And do you have a chair I could buy him so he could just sit there and watch?
And then there's a third guy that's going to videotape it while he cries. Yeah. No, so it was good. I liked building some stuff. I bought some new plants. I put down a rug. I did a bunch of shit. It was great.
I think we all want to know, what's it like? Because listen, I'm average handy for handy people. I'd say I'm average handy. There are jobs I immediately know there's a ceiling, whether it's like, I even tiled a whole table, and I realized, you know, the tiling, you have to do, this isn't just once out of the gate watching YouTube, you know, like, I don't have that skill, but I can replace all the faucets, even pipes under the sink, whatever. And I make a lot of mistakes. And the old measure twice, cut once, it's remarkable how often I think I have it so buttoned down. And I've because that piece is going to go on the inside of that 2x4. You got to subtract an inch and a half from the length, blah, blah, you know, like all that stuff. What is the Fitz dog like when he's assembling and trying to be buttoned up?
Well, you know that I was late for the podcast because I have ADHD. And if you give me a project, and I think you described your brother-in-law in this way, if you give me a single project with some instructions, I will lock in for hours, lose track of time, not answer my phone, and generally get it done. Like, I built It started off as a small tree fort in the yard, and I don't know if you remember, it took up half the property by the time I was done. I just kept going to Home Depot, buying more wood, definitely measuring twice. Like I bought power tools and painted the shit out of it. And no, I'm good.
I think you got addicted to feeling the rare times of feeling like a man.
Well, and it was also, I had scripts due. Every time I had a script due, I would find a project to do, and I would get, and I would be like, where is this energy coming from?
Yeah, you're not going to build on act two. Fuck that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we're not going to polish that. I'm going to polish the fucking 2x4 that's holding the roof on.
Yeah.
But I don't have expertise. I can't do plumbing at all. I don't even try because I feel like, all right, maybe I save $200 and then the pipe leaks and I have to rip my walls out because there's black mold, you know?
Right.
But I do anything carpentry related. I'll give it a shot. And I did tile a table also. That's fun.
Yeah. And I'm not asked for a lot of credit. Thank God it wasn't a vertical plane, like, you know, tiling shower walls or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
The spacers and everything. I'm like, huh? I don't think I would handle that well.
Speaking of scripts, we do this thing where, like, you know, Aaron spent some time in the film world, and she, when we watch movies or TV shows, which we do a lot of, it's amazing how much time we spend on the couch binge watching series at this point.
Well, I thought you were going to say searching for what to watch. That's another big one.
No, I need some new series. If anybody has some new series, and don't send me shit. If
okay,
you think
did you
a
try
great
Friends
series,
and Neighbors, John Hamm's new one?
No.
There's a lot of chatter. Someone's going to recommend it to you. Listen, it's okay. It's a lot of that rich porn, you know, with the crazy house and cars. It's, I don't know. People can tell me differently to stay with it. They already showed me what's going to happen. It's literally the first frame. So that's their device. Then they, now it's a season building to that. Kind of like White Lotus. They show you how it ends first.
Oh,
so anyway,
great.
No, with some mystery, exactly like White Lotus. You don't know everything, so you're interested. So, but nope, I watched two, and it's the characters seemed very simply written and two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Maybe even one.
We're watching, what are we into right now? There's a new season of, fuck.
We're watching
this shitty one. It's got Nicole Kidman in it, and it's so bad that we can't stop watching. It's made by that guy Sheridan, Randall
Jesus.
Sheridan or whatever. He did Yellowstone and 1823. He's got like four series on the air right now.
I love Land. I love no. I take that back. I do not love Landman. I love Billy Bob Thornton. That I say I could watch him read a phone book. Here's the catch. Sheridan cannot have written that phone book. That's the only catch.
He's so bad. And I feel the same way. We watched Landmen until we couldn't watch it. We were only watching to see Billy Bob. The casting was awful. The direction was awful. Everything was a disaster. You know what he
talk.
Gets? Cinematography. He shoots beautiful shows.
Yeah, and the music is really well used. Obviously, like, he puts artists on the charts, but it's just like especially the women, and I don't know if it's like a Southern thing, but especially the Texas thing in Landman is like, hey, darling, but not if you never do it a bit. And they're loaded with a joke, and it's macho bullshit.
Yeah. It's way too macho. And then, so we're watching this show that's so bad. It's called Nicole Kidman, Lioness.
Wow.
And it's like, there's CIA operatives doing impossible things. And it's just great escapist TV, which you need once in a while.
All right. Well, Friends and Neighbors, I think Aaron likes John Hamm. Do I have that right?
She is quite in love with John Hamm.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you've told me that. So maybe, and listen, it's not bad and all that. But here, you ready? Let's make this very specific and we'll move on. I'm thinking about watching a well-known, established, that it's a great series. Something like Oh man. Oh, a couple on HBO. What was the one? That took
Slow
place
Horses.
In oh, I should just go back to Peaky. No, I watched Slow. I watched Slow Horses. I'm talking about a little older. Like, so I'm doing Peaky Blinders. I should just get back to that. But then, what's the one in Atlantic City?
With Boardwalk Empire, definitely worth rewatching.
Never saw it the first time.
Oh my God, I love it. It's great. A lot of people started on that show and kind of got famous from not. I don't know from it, but since then,
never did Deadwood. Never. And then there's another
Deadwood
Western.
Is amazing.
Oh shit. All right, so there I'm set. But then if anyone has ones like that, like wait, like first you'll be in disbelief that I haven't seen it the first time, but I've seen of the top five, like I've seen Breaking Bad, I've seen Sopranos, I've seen The Wire now.
Game of Thrones.
I've seen Game of Thrones, but I'm missing like what was that other I remember. There's that other Western.
Oh, well, there's also the one about the funeral home. What was it called?
Oh, 6 Feet Under, I saw.
6 Feet Under is very good.
Yep. 6 Feet Under not holding up that much. Hannah just started watching it again. She had it on in the background. I'm like, it did get better.
It's slow. It's very slow.
It got much better as it went on, yeah. For sure.
Dexter's also really good.
Yeah, and I've never seen Dexter.
Yeah. We want to remind you guys, if you're enjoying the show up until now, it's the product of 5 years of work. And with that comes the 5th anniversary hats, mugs, notebooks, tote bags, t-shirts. Go to fitzdog.com. Check it out. We've got all different colors and sizes and reasonably priced, less than $30. Support the show. We don't do ads because we don't believe in them. So we only make our money through our merchandise. So there you go.
Justified was what I was trying to think of, I think. Anyway, if anyone has any tidbits. Yes.
All right.
By the way, we talked about it this week. You didn't get a hat either. I got to get a hat.
Yeah, we got to get hats. Maybe we'll get them and we'll wear them on the show next week so people can see what we're talking, what all the excitement is about.
Sometimes I do this podcast with you. Hook a guy up with the outpay cost. How does that sound?
Okay. Well, they're made to order. That's the thing. It's not like the koozies where you buy 1,000, put them in a garbage bag.
What color are you going to get? We should decide right after this podcast. Go on the website.
Maroon. They have maroon.
Oh, good Lord.
Logo this week, I gotta apologize because it's a really great one.
That
it's
is a great one.
Me and Mike riding bikes, Blondie's on the front of my bike, and it says Sunday Papers in the back. It's a nice spring day, and I don't know who the artist was. I cut and pasted it, and I forgot to write the art. So let us know, and we'll give you a shout-out next week. Shout-out to Jeff Snyder, who did this week's amazing song, It's Just a Man and a Guitar.
Jeff, I apologize, but maybe. But a song I put in my head was Closing Time. That one.
Oh, I could see that.
In a good way.
Yep. My daughter just went to Coachella and saw Green Day, by the way.
Come on.
Yeah, she said it was one of the greatest days of her life. She got, she's dating a guy who is, he is a stylist for one of the major acts that was at Coachella. And so she had VIP backstage green room passes. So she was at Coachella, but not dealing with the lines and this car camping and all that bullshit.
It was a nightmare this year, apparently.
Yeah,
and
no,
I don't know why. It's not like a Beyonce year, but I heard things like 11 hours in your car or something.
I heard they changed staffs at the festival. There was like some kind of house cleaning and they ended up with all new people that don't know what they're doing. She hung out with Ed Sheeran, who she thinks is one of the best artists she's ever seen in her life.
He's super talented.
Yeah. Biggest selling artist in the year of the year live last year.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. All right.
I don't know if it's last year. In the last 2 years,
sounds like a strong Fitz.
No.
Might not
have been last year, but it was definitely in the last 2 years. He was the top touring artist of the year. How about this? 1991. I'm going to give you three artists, and you're going to tell me which one was the highest touring act of that year.
Okay. Wait, what? We're talking about 91?
91. Madonna, yeah. Michael Jackson, or Backstreet Boys?
Backstreet Boys.
You're just saying that because it's the obvious one that you wouldn't choose.
Right.
Right. Well, that's right. That's correct. just had the singer.
Michael Jackson also toured with Boys, so maybe it's a tie.
I just had Joey McIntyre on the podcast from Backstreet Boys. Fucking great dude.
Michael Jackson also called his boys Backstreet Boys.
There you go.
Yeah.
Corrections. We got a big correction this week from a man who needs so much correcting himself that it seems a little bit disingenuous that he'd be sending one in. Disingenuous? That doesn't feel like the right word.
It just
ironic.
It's ironic, right?
Okay. Can't believe I have to do this, but I guess I have to correct a correction because it wasn't Carl Yastrzemski who hit the home run and waved it fair. It was Carlton Fisk. Also,
absolutely.
No,
I knew that, though.
We got it's that correction from a lot of people.
Yaz was a lefty. It's also, of course, famously Carlton Fisk, but anyway.
We were talking about the 75 Red Sox, of course, and I also said that they won the World Series when it was actually, I think, the AL Championship or something, ACLS Championship. And then he goes on to say, also no mention of the IUD versus IED debacle, nor Gibbons, who I talked to about this at golf, care to mention how you missed your son score a goal at a soccer game, his last high school soccer game, because you were looking at a woman jogging around the track. Keep on keeping on, lads. Happy 420 bras. Wait, what does that have to do with anything?
So when I showed up and he, I guess, had just listened to a podcast, he's like, I can't believe he threw shade at you when you admitted that at Olivia's game, she didn't see you that time. Has he, you know the Owen story? And I'm like, what? He's like, you don't know it? And then he won't bring it up? And I'm like, calm down. What is happening? It's like you watched me get assaulted and you're very, very ramped up about it. And then he talked about you have shared a low moment of your spectatorship with your son.
Yeah.
At a
I think of my
game,
life
which
in
is,
general.
Which is exactly, you know, what that moment in adolescence at a soccer game where the dad really lets the son down who's out there on the field.
Yes, there was a woman jogging. I'm not going to say she was braless. I was just saying there was not a bra that could handle what she was racing around the track with in front of her. And so me and another dad were checking her out discreetly and then not discreetly. Like we turned around and were and then he scored a goal. And that did not feel good.
Well, I'm sure when you explain to young Owen these absolutely insane cans that were all over the place, he understood.
I could now. He's 24 and we just had our first moments of acknowledging a hot woman walking by and looking at each other, making some eye contact and giving a little nod. And I'd never done that before.
I told you we were walking with the family that we both stayed with and they've been in my life since high school on Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
And it's this unbelievably cool couple. They've spent their whole lives married together and all this. So we're walking down their property. I think you might have, no, you weren't with us this time, but we have a picture down on that beach that you're in. So we're walking over to like a neighbor's and there is this specimen laying out with the biggest naturals like you're describing where this bikini top like could hardly like contain them. All of us look, women, it doesn't even matter. Like it was so insane. And so we walk by and then Mr. is quite taken aback and then is busted by how taken aback he was. And without missing a beat, he just goes, someone's going to be down and out in a few years, huh? Like those
Perfect.
Ain't staying high. Those ain't staying high for long.
Perfect.
Like just immediately found a way to criticize.
You got it. That's what you do. Like sometimes I'll go, I can't believe somebody would walk around wearing that.
Yeah.
And now you're both looking at her.
And I told you my thing was when we'd be caught, because you're in LA and there's a lot of impossible bodies walking around. And when I'd be, and this is in my marriage, like one would walk by and then I would be like, look, and I'd look a little too long and look back and eyes are like, look, staring right through me. And I would just, without missing a beat, I'd be like, God, eat something. Look at her. What a freak.
My wife is so generous in this area. I don't think that in 25 years of marriage, she has ever said, stop staring or don't look at that. I mean, I'm pretty discreet, but there's no way she never noticed me looking at a woman walking down the street. But she's never said anything.
Just Blondie alone.
I know. Speaking of walking down the street, I'm walking down to Huntington, California.
Look at that.
To play the Mamba on May 4th.
What is the Mamba?
I don't know. That's the name of the club. I think the name of the comedy show is something different. But if you're in Huntington, just search my name, May 4th. Escondido at the brand new Grand Comedy Club, May 9th and 10th. Then I'll be in Cincinnati at the Commonwealth Something Club in Dayton, Kentucky, May 16th and 17th. Tampa, Florida. Naples, Florida. Torrance, California, Austin, Point Pleasant, La Jolla, Vegas. This just announced Den Theater in Chicago in the fall. New Orleans at Skankfest. All tickets go to fitzdog.com and pick them up. Discount.
There you go. I got to put down my fidget toy.
Boy, you're really into that thing.
Oh, it's so good. But I need it. I told you, right? I have this pinched goddamn nerve on my right side of my neck. Here we go. All front right. page.
Front page.
Oh, a royal wedding has happened, Gregorius. The Tiger Kingdom is expanding. Tiger King star Joe Exotic, whose real name is Joseph Maldonado, announced on April 21st that he wed fellow prison inmate Jorge Marquez. Now, that is so much smarter than the Menendez brothers, who are both married to women who are free women. And have been on the outside, and I don't know if they've ever touched. They don't get conjugal visits.
Wait, they met women after they were incarcerated?
Oh, they had to fight them off, apparently, yeah.
And they married two women?
They're both married to women.
So they've never made love to these women?
I think that we have to believe that's true, because they've never been allowed a conjugal visit, I don't believe.
Wow.
Yeah, I did look that up, that they don't have conjugal visits, so I don't know what it is. This guy's marrying some tail right in the next cell.
That's the way you do it.
Or in his cell.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the nuptials are not a surprise following an announcement from Maldonado in October that he planned to wed Marquez. So Tiger King's 62, Marquez is 33. And the quote is, he is so amazing and is from Mexico. That's the... He really rushed that detail in there. Now the quest of getting married in prison. Wait, now the quest of getting married in prison and getting him asylum, or we be leaving America when we both get out. Okay. Maldonado, he wrote that on Twitter. So I don't know. They quoted him exactly. That's the problem there. And he goes, either way, I wish I would have met him long ago. So I think he continues to be a genius. He's marrying a Mexican criminal who might be deported. Right. That might get him out of jail if they're married. Maybe he'll get deported. And Mexico, they probably don't know how to handle charges against him for hiring someone to kill Carol fucking Baskin. Mexico wants nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And I think endangered species, that's pretty low on Mexico's to-do list to protect them.
Right. They're dealing with us mostly right now.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's amazing. Just like a tiger, you put a guy in a cage and he'll start fucking a Mexican guy.
Is that what it is?
That's a half a joke. That's called sketching out a joke and then failing to come up with the complete metaphor. So then you go, all right, I'll just make it absurdist.
Yeah. Well, he should. I mean, listen, Mexico should take him, because then with what we're doing to Mexico, they can famously deport Tiger King back to us.
Oh, that's good.
In a dramatic fashion.
Yeah, but the difference is we really want him back. Mexico doesn't want their deportees coming back.
Also, Joe Exotic keeps asking Trump to pardon him. That continues.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Big time.
How could he not? Fellow Floridian?
Well, I remember, I think Joe went in right before Trump won the first time. Could that be?
Well, the show was a big hit during the pandemic, which was 2020. So I don't know if he was already in jail when the series started. I think after the series started.
I know what it was. It was on Trump's way out of his first term when he was pardoning so many people. And I know Biden did too. I'm not being political. But he was in line, man. He thought he was in line. He was begging Trump.
By the way, can we minimize the pardon thing? And like you said, both sides do it. But, you know, somebody gets arrested. They get indicted. They go to pretrial. They go to trial. A bunch of people sit on a fucking jury. You know, millions are spent. And then somebody can just randomly go, no. I mean, maybe you get three. You get three pardons. That's it.
Well, on paper, why do you even get one? You know what I mean?
Right. And also these executive orders. And again, both sides are guilty of it. But what is the logic of we've got three branches of the government that check each other. Congress has to enact all laws except when the president just decides something. It's crazy. It's not supposed to be a monarch. It's supposed to be this process that is democracy. And you can't even keep up. There's so many executive orders. You can't fight one because nine others just happened today. There's no limit on them.
Is it the most executive orders ever?
Yes, it is. I just read that.
You're just going to agree.
No. I just read that.
Oh, really?
Yep.
It seems like it. I mean, but who knows? All right. Yeah. 220 during his first term. All right. Anyway. So Justin Bieber, his longtime friend, reportedly believes and went public this week that the Biebs is in a cult as his inner circle shrinks. Ryan Good, who's the co-founder and creative director of Bieber's fashion brand, Drew House, has not spoken to the pop star in more than a year over concerns about his pastor, Judah Smith. The pair reportedly stopped talking after Good left the Grammy winner's place of worship called Church Home in Beverly Hills, where Smith is on the leadership team. More recently, former close friends and associates expressed concern for Bieber's mental health. Quote, seeing him disintegrate like this, it's watching the embodiment of someone not living their purpose, an ex-team member claimed. And then another one is he's lost. There's no one protecting him because there's no one willing to say no to him. You say no, you get blown out. Now, do you think when Justin's in a cult that and he's taking his oath that he's a follower, and do you think he slips in the word that he's also a believer?
Of course.
Yeah. Yes. Every time he says believe, he's like, yeah, I believe it. Yeah, I believe
you. You know, Anne Frank, he said Anne Frank was a believer, and she also paid a steep price for her religious beliefs. So they have a lot in common.
Anne Frank would have been the best type of Bieber fan, because by definition, she couldn't play his music that loudly. So she wouldn't torture other people with it.
She definitely couldn't dance to it.
No.
Not. Although she was probably
so skinny.
She's
not going jogging to it.
She was so thin, it probably would not have made a lot of noise up there.
I doubt she brought the albums to camp. Let's move on.
All right. An 84-year-old man, this was sent to us by Dickie. An 84-year-old man was critically injured after falling from a cross during a reenactment of the crucifixion of Jesus that took place Friday in West Virginia. The man fell about 10 feet from a replica cross during an event from Vandalia Community Christian Church to mark Easter. The man was flown to a hospital with critical injuries. So basically, he came down to earth from the heavens and then rose above the earth, just like Jesus.
He really is.
He is currently in the ICU with broken ribs, but is recovering and is expected to survive, unlike Jesus. The man, who is not a member of the church, but was assisting with the event, according to the outlet.
Nice.
Broken ribs. Broken ribs is the least of his worries. What about the spike holes in his hands and feet and the thorn punctures in his scalp?
Also, isn't this one in the win column? I mean, you're getting crucified and you fall. Jesus wished he fell off the cross. Are you kidding me?
Right.
That's all he wanted.
If he
was asking his dad for that.
If he fell off the cross, that means that Jesus was the second worst carpenter in Jerusalem.
You know, when Dickie sent us this story, I'm like, oh, I think that's getting regurgitated. I've seen that story. And so I looked it up, and it is this year. It happened. But I remember us another year doing a story. I guess there are so many injuries on Easter with these reenactments of the crucifixion.
Yeah. And
or on Good Friday, I should say.
And of old men putting Easter eggs in their pockets. There's a lot that happens on Easter.
Those are the wounds that stay.
Yeah.
Those are the deepest wounds for those children. And 50 and 20 bucks, my $20 bill, I'm part of it, I guess. Did I just pay a kid $20 to touch an old man's crotch?
You're funding it. You're funding it. And, you know, and that kid, picture that kid in 20 years at a diner. Would you like some eggs? No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Crying into a napkin.
How much are the eggs? A lifetime of pain? Is that, that's what I'm used to paying.
A former TV weatherman has been arrested for allegedly making a secret sex tape and then threatening to release it. As cops warned, I got to tell you, if I was a woman, I would have a fucking scanner in my purse. And if I'm having a one-night stand with a guy, I'm going through the room looking for cameras. Because it seems like... All right, I'm very excited to tell you about a new sponsor to the show that are... do you want to support American farms these days? How about Mood? Mood is it's the only online cannabis company that I would endorse. They're revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. Sleepless nights, you got some stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They deliver them right to your door, unmarked bag right away. You can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code FITZ, FITZ. Do it. It's a new sponsor. I'm very excited about them. I've tried the gummies. I'm here to tell you. There are different strains that do different things. The sleepy time gummy, I'm telling you, 15 minutes, I was done. I was out. Woke up in the morning, no hangover, didn't feel groggy, had energy. They've got the Epic Euphoria gummies that are perfect for when you want to go and have a little fun. When maybe you need to hit the reset button on life a little bit. You want to turn it around. What makes these gummies different is they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary anywhere like these. They have gummies for literally everything: immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity. How about some sexual arousal? Hey now. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code FITZ. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember, use promo code FITZ so we get the count. At the checkout, save 20% off your first order. Like, they're recording everything.
Well, Airbnbs, yeah, there's all those videos teaching you how to identify cameras in the room.
So this guy who worked in Charlottesville, Virginia, as a newscaster, is accused of secretly filming his accuser during a consensual sexual encounter. The victim reported the incident, telling cops a 42-year-old meteorologist had then threatened and extorted them with the release of the clip. Investigators said Fitzpatrick relocated to Ohio shortly after the probe nabbed there, and police warned the former weatherman, who is in custody pending his extradition, that there may be more victims and urge them to come forward.
Hmm.
So,
well, you want me? I can give you a little.
You do your little run here.
Well, it seems obvious how he's going to show this footage of sex with the woman. He's going to be standing in front of a full screen with the cameras on. He's going to be like, you see this high pressure building in this lower region? That warm front's pressing up from the south.
Oh.
It's going to get hot and heavy. When these two fronts collide, there's going to be some serious atmospheric friction, Greg. And just look at this buildup of a significant moisture.
Oh.
That humidity is going to take a pounding when this throbbing mass of high pressure slams right into it.
Jesus, I've got an erection right now. That was good. And black clouds are forming, though, and you will need to seek shelter in concrete. Steel bars reinforcing it will help.
Yes.
So this guy, I guess he said the sex was consensual, but he also said it would be sunny with a light breeze last week, and that was far from the truth. So I'm not buying anything this guy's saying.
That would be a very funny sketch. It's like, so you're sworn, this is your sworn testimony, and that you're telling the truth? Yes. Well, let's look at your record with the truth. And you pull up all the newscasts where he's been so wrong.
Right.
And the next day, it hailed. You said it was sunny.
Jesus.
Okay, it is time for our new segment.
New segment.
It's the ethical question. And I haven't read beyond the headline, but I loved this one. Please still have it here. Yes. Ready?
Yeah.
From the New York Times. Can we ask a disabled woman to leave our pickleball group? I have not read a word of his answer. I can read you a little more of the question.
Okay.
I'm part of a dedicated pickleball group that meets twice a week at 6 a.m. for 2 hours.
Wow.
Players range from 35 to over 60 like me, and we rotate through doubles matches on 3 courts. The gym advertises this time as open play. Our group's challenge is the presence of one woman who is kind and well-meaning, but whose skill level is far below the rest of us. It's not about her age or gender. She appears to have a neurological defect affecting her reaction time. No one wants to exclude her, but we struggle to enjoy competitive play when she's on the court, probably because you keep hitting to her. We make an effort to include her, but privately we wonder why she hasn't realized that she's out of place. Would it be kinder to gently suggest she join a less competitive pickleball session rather than our continuing to accommodate her with quiet frustration? Okay,
well, look,
what do you think?
I think you have to take in a measure of humanity when you look at this, and you have to understand.
Put her out of her misery.
Get her the fuck out of that game. I mean, these people are trying to get some exercise. It's pickleball, for God's sakes. This is a serious sport. This is something that you wake up at 6 a.m. to get out there, so 2 hours later you can feel mildly tired after playing. Get her out. Loser.
He kind of sidesteps it. I'm scanning ahead. And his last paragraph is, still, I hope that you'll decide that this isn't necessary. Playing this sort of game with people of different levels of ability is itself a kind of challenge. And amateur sports are about mastering challenges while having a good time.
Can we picture Dennis Gubbins playing against this woman right now? How fucking... with her. Imagine the screaming that would go on.
Oh, my God. That would be perfect.
We played doubles with him yesterday. It was me and Owen against him and not you because you bailed.
Oh.
Against him and Alex Wright. And Gubbins, who's so much better than everybody else. He plays 3 hours a day, probably 5 days a week. And if somebody hit a weak lob, he would fucking hammer you in the legs, in the chest. He hit Alex in the face at one point. He was completely out of control. Like hard smashes.
Jesus. I don't know about this, the woman. Just let her keep playing pickleball. Odds are she's going to wind up in the emergency room no matter what. All of them are hurting themselves out there.
Yes. Maybe they should.
It is a huge boon to the industry.
I think that they should switch sports and do like a tug of war but use the woman as the rope.
Yeah.
Then she feels like she's a part of it.
Love it.
Yeah. Okay.
We're moving on to entertainment. Your story, Bella.
Pete Davidson's been getting a lot of his tattoos removed. It's costing him a lot of money. He revealed he spent $200,000 on the process. He's only 30% finished. Quote, it's a pretty uncomfortable amount of money to disclose, and I think one of the tabloids already leaked it. I've already spent $200,000. It's like, it's going to suck, but it's going to be nicer. In addition to the expense, the process also requires a lot of downtime for recovery, and Davidson has to be something that Davidson has to purposefully pencil into his professional life. Quote, well, I have to plan it in between work because it's a six-week healing process each time you get one removed. So each tattoo is 10 to 12 sessions. That's 60 weeks of your life right there on just one tattoo to remove. Oh, my God.
It sounds easier and less painful to get in a bad fire and just burn your skin.
Right. And also, 60 hours, 60 weeks of his life versus the 4 to 5 minutes spent making each of those tattoos in his drunken teenage years.
Therapy would have been so much less challenging, I think, yeah, than all those tattoos. Yeah. Luckily, his calendar is freeing up, so...
Oh, that's fortunate.
Yeah, he's not going to have to work too hard penciling stuff between the gigs.
He just did a sitcom that I actually heard, I think he's very funny, but I heard was very good in the sense that nobody saw it. Did you hear about it?
He has a sitcom?
Yeah, he had a sitcom. It was on last year.
I don't think I heard about it.
Yeah.
Like, not in front of a live audience.
No, single camera.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. No.
If only he could erase, forget the tattoos, if he could erase that joke he made about Ariana Grande. Remember the suicide bomber killed 22 people at her concert?
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
He said, like, she reached big, something about, like, it would have been good if it had happened to Britney Spears because she could have drawn a bigger audience or something.
Oh.
I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Caitlyn Jenner is raising money to support her. She wants her supporters to donate money to support her legal defense, responding to a lawsuit of alleged financial malfeasance. I have to be named a defendant in a lawsuit regarding the Jenner meme coins alleging securities violations, she posted on X. She's got a crowdfunding campaign. Let's all be freedom maximalist. Other trans women keep saying, oh, I'm a real woman. I'm a real woman. And I'm going, no, you're not. I don't even know what that means. But
what is that?
Well, she had this Bitcoin type of thing. And a couple of people sued her saying
Talking about the I'm a real woman. It's like she's not a, an ally? Is that what they call it?
She's not an ally, no.
She has to be the only trans person that's not an ally. It's kind of like, remember when, you know, putting Ellen aside, but it was on Ellen. And to Ellen's credit, Ellen was like, so wait a minute, you are trans and you are against gay marriage?
Yeah.
And that was the wake up call to, trans people can be dicks too.
Yep. So anyway, her crypto coin shit the bed. And apparently she pumped and dumped it. So there you go.
With pump and dump, I think you should build in the cost of the upcoming lawsuit, the inevitable lawsuit. That should be built into your pump and dump plans. Haktua didn't do that. Also, this I know it's homophobic, but it's really not. It's against very specifically Caitlyn. I didn't like thinking of the term Haktua, which I was made to think of with a pump and dump Bitcoin scam and a crypto scam. So I don't like thinking of Haktua when I'm thinking and envisioning Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
I've been in the same room as her many times. I know of what I speak. Yeah.
You know, the sad thing about, like, say you own some Haktua meme or a Caitlyn Jenner meme, at least, like, you know, if you had a Confederate coin, obviously you can't go in a store and spend it, but you've got a fucking Confederate coin. And maybe out of nostalgia or whatever, down the road, it actually gets some value back, you know? But like, with like a Caitlyn Jenner coin, there's no physical coin. There's no actual material thing that you can keep that might be worth something. Like, and it's also just, you probably paid for it online from your checking account into that. It was just, you know, digitally you bought it, digitally you lost it. You got nothing to show for it. And it all seems so fucking transient and ethereal, you know?
Well, first she asked for money for nothing, as you're pointing out. Now she's asking for money to defend herself against asking you for money for nothing.
Right.
Is there a third wave coming?
Right.
I can only imagine.
Let's go to Florida where things get really weird.
Let's go to Florida. Okay. An Orange County man. Boy, Orange County, no matter where it is trouble. An Orange County man in Orange County, Florida, was arrested Monday and accused of impersonating a police officer and trying to pull another vehicle over. And court records show he was sentenced to prison for doing the same thing already. Deputy, I love this guy. And this is what Florida needs. They need more volunteer policemen. Deputies say Albert Dolan, who's 60, followed a vehicle along Stony Brook Parkway about a mile with the amber lights flashing. The driver thought the black car was an unmarked police vehicle, so he pulled over. Dolan approached the victim on the driver's side of the vehicle and asked for his license. Dolan refused to show his ID and badge when the driver asked for it, and then let the driver go. The driver then called 911.
911.
Yeah, 911. Called 911 and provided Dolan's license plate number. The sheriff's office said Dolan has a history of buying former police vehicles with lights and sirens still attached, and that he had been accused of impersonating a police officer before.
Wow. I wonder in what other ways he impersonated a police officer. Do you think... I don't know. Did he go home and beat his wife? Did he? No, that's a bad joke. I don't like to shit on the cops. I think they do a great fucking... Most of them do an amazing job.
Most do an amazing job, of course.
But this does sound like this sounds like a Doge job. This sounds like Elon Musk heard about this and was like, yep, that's it. Let him just do it. Let anybody just do any federally sanctioned job with no training whatsoever.
I thought, did you cut this story down? Maybe I thought I put in another.
I did.
Yes, so there were other deals. He's done it twice before.
Yes.
But thanks for cutting that out.
Well, anyway. Sometimes the script is a little long, and I go in and I take a little pass. You know, what do you want me to do?
We can't. They were funny details. Yeah. Anyway, this guy, yeah, twice before. He was on probation. Did it say that in this one?
Yes.
He was on probation for doing this when he got busted for doing it again.
All right.
We're going to make America Oklahoma again. An Oklahoma man fled from officers after using an AR-15 to shoot a deer out of a black Mustang while driving 117 miles per hour on Saturday night. This reminded me, this is everything that's inside of you that made you get a Mustang. Like, you have this inside
That's exactly right. I'm driving my Mustang 110, and I have driven it 110. I've gotten up to 110 on the 10 on the 10 West late at night.
Oh no.
And you don't even feel it. It feels like you're driving 70 in a normal car. But when I read that sentence, he fled officers using an AR-15 to shoot a deer while driving 117 miles an hour on Saturday night. I just think I am not living my life to the fullest. I am not pushing myself at all.
So when the call came in, deputies were responding to an unrelated disturbance. But when the black Mustang passed them at 117 miles an hour, traveling in the opposite direction, passing vehicles in no passing zones and driving recklessly. So they took off after him. during their search, they received additional calls that the black Mustang had been involved in a hit and run where it swiped a Mercedes and continued to leave the area. Officials say that the three men, so get this, this guy, while driving 117 and shooting with an automatic rifle or semi, whatever, it's automatic, AR-15, out his window at deer. His son was in the car, and I don't know how old, and another guy. So the three people flee the vehicle, and after the owner of the Mercedes located him, Franklin's son surrendered without incident, but Franklin and the other passenger were located in a nearby field, and they refused to cooperate. And I love this line. A police canine was deployed to gain compliance from Justin, from Franklin, I guess, who was taken into custody after being bit by the canine. Gain compliance.
Yeah, that's like a peacekeeping missile kind of a phrase.
This is what I'm telling you. The mechanical hound, you don't even need, the mechanical hound doesn't need to bite.
I know.
It'll just corner him.
I know. And, you know, and the thing is, like, the new police cars will be driverless and they will be positioned along the sides of the highway. They'll be reading the speeds from 2 miles away. They use electricity now to neutralize cars. Have you seen that? Where they blast your car with with electricity and it shuts it down. They'll do that. The police dog will get out, subdue, or what do they call it? They'll
the mechanical hound.
He's going to gain compliance.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. And then maybe a human will come in and clean up at the end of it all.
You know already, and we've seen it in footage, in real world situations, I think it was in New York, the drones are attached to the roof of the police car. So it pursues you, but it's not going to, now the drone gets launched and does the chasing.
Really? I like that. I like that.
They don't risk accidents.
The only reason you watch local news is when there's a car chase. And then all of a sudden, you know, Channel 4 fucking... And meanwhile, they can't run commercials. It's the only time anyone's watching and they can't cut away for a commercial.
It's been used in shows, but it began with a very real clip on YouTube. A guy's watching a police chase, and he then whips the camera from his TV to his window, and the chase flies around his corner.
I've never seen one. I don't think I've ever seen a police chase. Seen the cop cars. I've never seen the car.
There used to be so much more common. I think now drones, and obviously it started with helicopters. But in LA, we'd get a chase a week when we were like first here.
Well, it's just so funny because you have right now a 0% chance of escaping. I shouldn't say zero. You have a 0.01% of maybe driving in an underground mall, changing sweatshirts and going into Lord and Taylor's and waiting it out. But that's
Lord and Taylor's.
I wouldn't give it much more of a 0.01%.
Also, I don't think they would think anyone's in Lord and Taylor's, so you'd be safe in there, I think. It's a good plan.
let's get to international.
All right. Here, let me crinkle.
I'll tell you, you got to go around the world to find a story like this one. A young Aussie woman has been left absolutely fuming after a waxer revealed why she'd have to charge her more in the future. Sarah Button, 27, took to social media after her Brazilian waxing appointment to say she received an unexpected message from the waxer. The message drops the bombshell that she'll be charging her more in the future. Quote, "Just in future, I'll have to charge you a little more for the size of the area. I hope it makes sense. Nothing crazy, like 5 or 10 extra," the waxer wrote. Yeah, she was pissed because she was fined by the Parks Commission for deforestation. I'm not saying this woman's pussy was big.
You're not saying that.
No, but her boyfriend broke up with her. He said her clit was so big that having sex with her felt like a cockfight. So, she was so mad she screamed, and then there was another scream, but that was just an echo. I'm not saying the pussy's big.
So she's deep, too.
It's deep, wide, hairy.
So Can you believe this woman has outed herself? That's what she's done all
right,
this.
Right, right.
Is there? I'm reading the story. There's not even a lawsuit. There's not even a complaint other now, than this, just whining.
No, this was just a Reddit thread that I found and I thought was funny.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, they had the worst fires down there that really cleared a lot of bush.
That's right. In the bush. That's what they call it, going into the bush.
Yeah, it's the bush down there.
Yeah.
So they're very sensitive about it now. Maybe she's like kind of rubbing it in the landscape's face. Like, look how much bush I still walk around with.
I went
well,
into
at least it wasn't an anal wax, you know what I mean? Or an anal bleaching that she was told she has to charge more for.
Do you think black people get anal bleaching?
That's a fair question, even though it sounds very unfair. Right. Well, I remember asking my dad who worked for Estee Lauder, and I'm like, and he didn't take it as inappropriate, but I was just like, isn't it much simpler, like the shipping of like all your, like you go into Bloomingdale's, right? And you see a giant cosmetic company, the amount of shades they have, because they have everybody in there, black women, redheads, Asians, every ethnicity, every tone within every ethnicity.
We're back.
I got cut off in the exact right place with my racist. Shouldn't it be a monotribe, not a diatribe? But anyway.
Well, whatever it was, my Wi-Fi just collapsed for some reason, and now we had to restart. So excuse the glitch, or exclude the glitch. Let's get down to this day in history.
Here you go. Okay. It was some slim pickings, I got to tell you, in this day in history. Where would it be now that there are so many links open? Here we go. All right, sir. This is we'll get to that. I'll build to that one. All right, here we go. The Hubble telescope was sent into orbit. You know, at first, by the way, it's not in here, but I know at first there was a tiny little thing on the lens, like smaller than a human hair, and they had to send a mission up because all the images were coming back blurry.
Oh my God.
But anyway, the Hubble telescope first got launched into space on this day in what year, give or take 10 years?
1979.
Oh, missed by one, Pally. 1990.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say like 2005.
I was only thinking further back because if they had to redo it, I had to a lot for time for that. All right. 0-1, but by 1 year, not bad.
It's still 0-1. All right. Now here's all the slim pickings. I mean, Suez Canal. All right. Yeah, fine. Construction of the Suez Canal officially began on this day in what year? And it was completed 10 years later. So I'm going to give you, because the completion date might be blurring your memory. And it connected the Mediterranean and the Red Seas. Give or take 25 years, when do you think construction of the Suez Canal began?
1895.
No, sir. 1859.
Oh, and you gave me
25 years. Yep, too bad.
Okay.
Would you have any guess the first guillotine was erected in Paris to execute a highwayman? That's the weird detail.
Hmm.
We're not going to count this one. You know what? We're going to count it. The first guillotine was erected on the Place de Grève. I slaughtered that, no doubt. In Paris to execute a highwayman. Give or take 50 years. That's a 101-year window.
All right. Well, the main clue I have is it was after highways were developed. So that wasn't until 1920. I'm just kidding. So with a guillotine in France, I got to go back to 1410.
Yeah. 1792.
Okay.
All right.
You're telling me that nobody had their head chopped off by a machine until the late 18th century? I don't buy that.
That wasn't the question. That wasn't the question.
All right. Well, you want to talk about specific guillotines? Yeah. Let me check my book on my shelf of dates of famous guillotines.
No, the first guillotine was erected.
All right.
Chernobyl, buddy. The Chernobyl nuclear accident, a devastating environmental catastrophe, occurred early in the morning on this day of what year? And it was an explosion and a fire at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in Ukraine. Give or take, you're doing badly today, so I'm going to try to help you. I'm going to give you, give or take, 10 years. When do you think Chernobyl happened?
1986.
Did you just Google it?
No.
It was 1986.
I saw a movie about it. They had a miniseries on it that I just watched.
Of course, Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Chernobyl was very good. All right, let's see now. What was the interesting one I wanted to do? Here it is. You're going to know the year, or within, you'll be within 1 year of it. But this is the new way of asking this question. John Wilkes Booth assassinated. So in 1865, John Wilkes Booth assassinated Abraham Lincoln.
In 1865.
In 1865.
Okay.
He was arrested how many days later at a farm? And I'm give or take 2 days. How many days after killing Lincoln was John Wilkes Booth arrested?
20 days.
12.
When are we going? I didn't know we're. What about years? I need years to work with, not days.
I mean, you think it took them that long?
Well, they didn't exactly have fax machines back then.
All right, let me find. We got to find one for you to go out on. That's kind of.
I mean, it's actually pretty amazing they caught him, considering like how slow news travels, and you know, there's no video cameras showing license plates. Like, that's pretty good.
Okay, you ready? Let me try to give you a pretty wide berth here. The London Zoo opened in Regent's Park on this day in what year? Give or take 100 years.
1825.
You missed by 3 years.
Yeah, but you know what? I literally, my first thought was 1825 and then went, no, because I think they were exploring Africa before that. And so I went to 1725. All
That's
right.
That's what you were thinking of, huh?
Yeah.
All right, we're going out on that one. I love it. I love 100 years.
Tough day.
By three.
Tough day for the Fitz dog.
I'd say this day in history is not good for you.
No. Let's get to letters to the editor.
Yes.
Kelly Holmes says, "Hi, friends. I also loved Adolescence and learned that the actor who played the dad was in a movie that was also filmed in one long shot called Boiling Point. It was pretty good."
Wow.
All right. All right. Well, that's worth watching.
He's used to high-pressure situations.
Kyle Anderson said, by the way, he was in Peaky Blinders. He was in The Irishman.
He's also funny. I think he also was great in Snatch, I think.
Right. But I just rewatched The Irishman this past week. And when I say this past week, the entire week.
Who was he in The Irishman?
He was a mobster that De Niro goes to jail, or that Joe Pesci goes to jail with, who is ultimately calls for his death.
All right.
It's not a good movie. This is from Kyle Anderson. "Hey, Greg, big fan. I'm listening to Sunday Papers. From the beginning, I'm re-listening to Sunday Papers from the beginning again."
What?
"Question, though, where can I find the podcast with you, Mike, Zach, and I think one other person?" I don't know. Who did we do one with Zach and one other person? Were you there for the Natalie Maines one? in my garage?
I don't think so. Oh, maybe. I'm not sure.
I think you'd remember that. Zach, I was interviewing Natalie Maines, and Zach, who lived in the neighborhood, came by to use my fax machine and just let himself in the back door. So we had him sit down and do the rest of the podcast with us.
Got it.
Anyway, all right. Let's get to the obituaries. Big one this week.
Here we go. Take it away, Catholic boy.
No, you do it.
Well, this is your writing. Duh, Pope. Yeah, that's what Greg put. Duh, Pope. Mourners.
Do you know the reference?
No.
It was Father Guido Sarducci on Saturday Night Live. He used to talk about the Pope.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Pope. All right. Mourners paying their final respects to Pope Francis have been disturbed by others. Oh, so this is a news story I put down here. But the mourners, we lost the Pope. And mourners have been disturbed by others snapping selfies beside his body in the open casket, with some even posting smiling photos online. Tens of thousands have flocked to St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City to see the late Pope, with many using it as a grim photo op.
He's the late Pope. I don't think he's coming at all.
While some looked sad in their selfies, at least one Instagrammer posted a photo of herself smiling as the Pope lies lifelessly in a coffin just feet away. I don't know what's worse, by the way, because if you're also like just virtue signaling and you're just going public and using a shitty social media account to show your sad face, also that you got access to the Pope.
Yeah,
I don't think it's that much worse. I don't think it's that much worse to be smiling doing it.
I think just the opposite. I think that the Pope was filled with joy. He was a modern Pope. I think that he would have seen this as a celebration of life. I mean, the guy was 96 years old. So I think he knew it was time to go. And I think that he would look down and smile at young people enjoying his glory.
I heard he wanted to be buried in the ground, which is a special request if you're a Pope. And like just with his name, not the word Pope, and like, you know, man of the people type thing, man of the dead people.
I want the same thing. I want to be buried without the word Pope in front of my name.
I'm the exact opposite.
Are you going to get cremated or buried?
Regardless, it's going to say Pope, probably on the urn. I want my kids to have Pope, my ashes. And we'll have two burns for the little for the girls both.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe you could burn different parts of your body on different days.
I could start while I'm alive.
By the way, they also, I know when they elect a new pope, they always have the smoke come out of the chimney of the Vatican. They should do it with the pope's body. That's what should burn.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, let's cheer up.
You think that's black smoke? With any human body?
Yes. Because of
probably.
The carbon.
With Twinkies? Funnies.
Okay. As you know, week in and week out, we provide you with one caption of one comic. You then provide us with your punchlines. We choose the best one. And that best one gets a koozie. The Sunday Papers koozie. We mail it right to your house. We ask that you... send them in, and you put your name directly underneath your joke submission. That makes it easier for us. I know it's not a big deal, but thank you. And last week's caption was a man who is standing on the ledge of a building. He's bald with glasses, and there is a reporter with a microphone and a cameraman with a video camera aimed at him that are leaning out of the window as the man looks down. Sean's caption was, okay, Grandpa, camera's rolling. TikTok challenges, take one. Remember to aim for the pool and action. Sean asked a lot of me performance-wise on that one.
He did.
Which I resent.
Sean, the problem I have with it, if I'm being honest, is it's, you know, it's not social. It's not, that would be an iPhone. That would be a TikTok challenge, as they're usually made, not a news crew.
Okay, that rubbed Mike a little bit. Margaret said, if we give you a selfie stick, would you hold it all the way down?
It helps if we had seen the selfie stick, but yes, I like that one better.
Tim says, excuse me, sir, before you go, could you spell your last name again for me?
That's my favorite so far.
Okay. He had a second one that I'm not going to read because the first one was stronger.
It's not as good.
Kenny Ingle says, if you won't come in, would you consider breaking your Ellen non-disclosure agreement?
He got that in there. It seems a little forced, but he got that in there.
Nathan Schleif does a slightly more elegant version of that. How long did you say you've been working for Ellen DeGeneres?
Pretty good. Yeah, it is suicidal.
Lane says, and you're doing all this because of a late koozie? Is that right?
It seems that way, the letters I get. You sent me one that a guy, keep in mind, I mailed it to that dude who emailed in that during the pandemic or whatever it was.
That's the guy.
Not during the pandemic.
He's got a famous last guy's name, John Favreau from Maine.
No. He got his, finally. He got his. No, anyway, whatever. But that's the thing. I think really regarding everybody, they went out. And then, of course, I found a lot that were returned. But I'm trying to make good on all of them. Let me know if you didn't get it.
This next one's so bad that I put it in because it just might be good. Hi, we're from Fly Witness News. Any last words?
Wow, wordplay. Nice. That's James, a reach.
James Brophy says, Mr. Giuliani, I know you lost everything in the defamation. It's too long. It's already too long.
Yeah.
Ron Dvorak says, WFAL News giving you the stories as they drop.
All right. Okay.
Jim Guglielmo says, could you aim a little to the left? We just watched the news van.
Kind of funny.
Not bad. Steve says, wait, please take me with you.
All right.
That's it.
All right. There's something subtle about could you spell your last name?
Yep.
But I also like, you know, the news van's pretty good.
Right. I like the Ellen non-disclosure agreement. That's not bad. Or how long have you been working for Ellen DeGeneres was the better version.
That one's better, I think. Sorry, Kenny. All right. Your choice.
All right. Let's go Nathan Schleif. I like the Ellen DeGeneres joke. How long did you say you've been working for Ellen DeGeneres? Next week's caption is this, or cartoon is this. There's a dog sitting on a chair at a desk. There's a computer in front of him. He's got one paw on the keyboard. He's looking down at another dog that's looking up at him. The dog in the chair is speaking. Go.
Can you lick my balls while I go online?
All right, so let's do a little note from somebody who said, it's a tough listen when Gibbons attempts to read the classic Doonesbury cartoons.
Yeah.
Doonesbury is not laugh out loud funny,
no.
But Trudeau does some solid satire.
Maybe.
Doonesbury strips comment on the political moment in which they are written. It's not really fair to read them years after the fact and expect the same resonance. I'm with Ryan in Chicago. I think it's time to put Doonesbury to bed. I think you're looking for something from a comic that never meant to be that.
Okay. Well, while you read the Lockhorns, because the one in here, it's a list of 50-year-old. He's right. So let me look for one.
Okay. In the meantime, let me give you
Doonesbury. New Doonesbury. Go ahead.
All right, we're at the Lockhorns now. Leroy is sitting down. Loretta serves a dish in front of him. He holds his nose, and he goes, I was hoping for cheese that was imported, not deported. Did you even hear that? You didn't even hear that.
No, I'm looking for a goddamn new Doonesbury.
That was a good one.
I'll come back. I'll read it.
Now we got Hagar the Horrible. Hagar walks in the door. Helga's waiting with a broom in her hand, and he tosses her a gift-wrapped box. I got you a present, Helga. She opens it. Now she's got a necklace in her hand. She's smiling. Oh, Hagar, it's a real diamond necklace. And then Hagar goes, if it's not, the Duke lied to the Duchess.
All right. Yeah, stolen goods, and he's claiming it's new. I heard it.
Yep.
New Doonesbury. Are you up to me already?
Go ahead.
What? I don't think I have one.
Okay.
Seattle Times. Please let me read a comic. Here we go. It won't let me read a comic. Oh. No, this is challenging. Seattle Times not letting me read it.
I can find it for you.
Try to find one. You read one. Yeah, I love it. You read one.
All right, here's the most recent Doonesbury. There's two guys, and it's wartime, and they're both in battle fatigues, but one of them has a microphone that says CNN. He says, Wolf, I'm talking to Lieutenant B.D. Wait, is Wolf Blitzer still on the air?
I'm looking at this one.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, of course he is.
I'm not even going to read it. No.
You want me to read it?
It's not worth reading. I just don't. I think it's never going to pay off.
What, you're giving up on a new one?
I don't know.
Here it is.
All right.
Four frames. Wolf, I'm talking to Lieutenant B.D., Public Affairs Officer at Camp Blowback. I already don't like it. So how are the embeds working out, Lieutenant? The guy goes, well, it's a mixed bag. On the one hand, the TV pictures show us at our best, but they also show the horror of war. Then it goes, which our enemies can repurpose as propaganda. I'm not talking about your recent feed, of course. CNN guy goes, which one? The soldier giving out Skittles? And the guy goes, classic stuff. I smell Emmy. It's just jaded and
it kind of has a 70s disestablishment tone that's gone like, all right, I guess if you're 78, you might want to read this and it might resonate with you. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I have to find a new one to read.
Yeah, get a new one for next week. Let's maybe you guys send in your suggestions this week. Fitzdogradio@gmail.com. What strips are we missing? Okay, here's one we're not missing. Is Blondie at the bottom of the stairs do I even need to say it? Look at the right bosom in this white sweater that she is wearing, and she's looking up. So her shoulder is back, which is presenting the bust even more so. Dagwood's running down the stairs in his suit, and he goes, yum, do I smell pancakes? She goes, nope, it's my new perfume. It's called Pancake Paradise. And then he walks down, and she holds out a bottle of perfume, and she goes, I also bought waffle cone and cinnamon buns. And he goes, I love it. Final frame is Dagwood at work. His boss, Mr. Smithers, says, do I smell cinnamon buns? And Dagwood has that... Those wavy lines that show like an odor coming off of you. I'm only hoping for Blondie's sake, or maybe I'm not hoping for Blondie's sake, that he molested her and she was wearing cinnamon bun perfume, and that was the only thing she could do to get this homosexual to pay attention to her and throw a move on her, is to pretend that she's food.
That's a good, yeah, like just have, you know, people keep lube in the side table. Just syrup.
Yes.
It works. Or
whipped
mayo.
Whipped cream, syrup, put a cherry in your pussy. Make
mayo,
them earn it.
Whatever, soy sauce, whatever you're in the mood for that night.
And then just close your eyes and think about Herb, the neighbor, because you ain't thinking about this fucking zero. All right, listen. You folks have been patient with us. We had a technical glitch. I hope barely noticed it. But it added another half hour to the podcast. So respect us. Don't forget, get your merch at fitzdog.com. Come on out next weekend. I'll be performing in Huntington Beach. And then, Mike, anything you want to promote?
Not a single thing.
There you go. Well done. Yeah. All right. Well, then I guess we can just...
Four things. All right. I have four things to promote.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Everyone needs to take it ish.
Take it ish.
Bye-byes.
It's Sunday papers time to read the news with Greg and Mike. Serves hot for you to bring a smile to your face so you don't feel so all alone.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.